20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. The Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast is back. The weekend is almost here. I am half of your Thursday crew. I am Jason Perrone, and you can also find some of my work over at Game On Wisconsin, where I do the currently on hiatus Quick Slants podcast. Along with me, as always, of Packer Report is Mark Eckel. Mark, over at the beach, summer's upon us, all that good stuff. And we are now only a week away from round one of the 2023 NFL draft.
About time.
It is about time. I would.
Hey, can I ask you something?
Yes.
You always mention that you know, your Game On Wisconsin. Now, Game On, I should know this, and I feel bad asking you this, but you only do Packer stuff for Game On Wisconsin, correct?
Correct.
But they do Bucks and Brewers and Badgers and all that, right?
Well, the idea is to get to that point, but the majority of their coverage, and I should say all of their focus and coverage since its inception a couple of years ago, has been Packers. But I think the big vision, which is now under the leadership of the guys over at Lombardi's Bar, Jake Westendorf took a step back, is to expand, like you're saying, into more sports over there, more Wisconsin sports. So that's why it was called Game On Wisconsin instead of Game On Packers or something more football related.
That's what I thought. I mean, well, they do Badger.
Haven't gotten into Badger stuff yet. So that's the other thing too is expanding it and getting a bigger team there. And so I guess by putting it out on the airwaves here, we're putting it into the universe. So, all right, powers that be over there, Dan Kotnick, Todd Varney, Jimmy Christensen, do your worst. So, but they've done a great job taking over with everything and the content that we do over there. I love doing the quick slants. I mean, it comes out on Monday, so that's a great traffic day, and it's a game recap. So I plan on continuing to do that if they'll have me, unless they have other plans. I guess we'll find out. But that's the
scoop. I mean, we're Pack a Day. We're not Wisconsin a Day, so we just talk Packers.
Packers.
The Bucks and Brewers are both. I mean, the Bucks are, you know, bona fide championship contenders.
Again.
The Brewers are off to a nice start, and they're, I don't know if they're a World Series team, but they're good.
They are.
Wisconsin.
It's baseball, as you know, because you've covered and followed some baseball too. That season is extremely long. A lot of ups and downs.
Right.
And I'm a D-backs fan too. They always tend to start out hotter, and then, but they've got to be, through the history of their franchise, they've got to be one of the worst teams after the All-Star break in the history of their existence. They are always bad.
The heat gets to them, you think?
Sellers, never buyers. Well, they've got the retractable roof. It's not like it's that hot in the dome or in Chase Field, but no, I just don't even get me started on the D-backs. That's, you know, they had their one championship in 2001, and I'm convinced they had to sell.
I was in Arizona. The Eagles played the Cardinals that Sunday afternoon, and I was there the night they won the world, that when they won their one championship.
Ooh, yeah.
I was on Mill Avenue.
Crazy vibe.
It was wild. It was wild that night.
Crazy vibe in Phoenix. Yeah, there's no shortage of crazy and weird stuff that goes on here. So who knows? I mean, you mentioned the Bucks. We'll see if maybe the Suns and the Bucks are on another collision course in the finals. I would like to personally, as a Suns fan, spare me that, please. But we got a long way to go before that happens, and I just hope Giannis is okay. It sounds like he's going to be okay. I mean, he'll be fine. He's one of the toughest SOBs out there, and he's a great player. So I expect he'll be back. The Bucks will do some damage. The East, I think the East has to go through Milwaukee at this point. You could say the Celtics, but it goes through. And I know that the Celtics are the defending Eastern Conference championships, but year to year, come on. I mean, I think that it goes through Milwaukee in the East, and just glad that they're back in it, because it's more fun. I like it when the small markets are making some noise in the playoffs. It just gives us a change up, right?
Yes.
And all that other kind of
Even
stuff.
Even Denver. Denver wouldn't be, I mean, when's the last time they've been relevant?
Long time.
Yeah.
Very long time.
Enough basketball. I don't really even follow basketball.
Missed basketball and baseball. So no weather talk here, but we did talk a little bit of baseball and basketball. So
we're talking about, you know, Wisconsin type sports.
Not bad.
All right. So
not bad.
So
we're talking defensive line prospects for this 2023 class. And as always, you've got some good sources here with some information on the defensive line. So at the current state of the position right now, we were just talking before we started, it's thin. It's really thin. So, Mark, I'll let you kind of take us through. Obviously, we've got Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, T.J. Slayton, right? And then... Yeah.
And John Ford.
John Ford, who didn't play at all last year.
Now, John Ford might be... We don't know anything about him. He was a seventh-round pick last year out of Miami. Big guy, big nose tackle type. They must have liked something about him that they A, they drafted him, and B, they kept him all year. They kept him on the 53-man roster. Was on the practice squad. He was on the 53-man from day one, but he was inactive for all 17 games. So I guess you could call it like a redshirt year for him in that he was on the team, but he never played. So we really don't know. We don't know anything about him. We don't know. I mean, he might turn out to be a decent, you know, rotational type guy.
It would be really interesting, and almost, I don't know how pressing it would be for a guy that couldn't manage to dress at all during his rookie season to come out and all of a sudden be serviceable. I mean, it's possible. It's possible.
I mean, there are guys that the Packers or other, I've seen other teams, you know, guys have been on the practice squad and turned out to be serviceable players. Right. I mean,
yep.
So, I mean, but even if Jonathan Ford turns out to be a good quality defensive lineman that they could use, it still only gives them four.
Right.
And you need at least five, or if not six, you know, so the Packers are going, I mean, nothing surprises me anymore when it comes to the draft, but I would be very, very perplexed if the Packers don't take a defensive lineman somewhere in this draft. And I think they'll take one before the second day is over. Do you agree with me?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They have to. This isn't a position where they can skimp here, because like you said, they don't even have enough guys to field a depth chart right now. And if you're going to add a fourth or a fifth guy and you just expect to plug a sixth or seventh rounder in there and make some noise, you better hope that Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, who's going to get much more opportunity as a former first round pick this year, and TJ Slayton, who filled in nicely and I thought was pretty good last year, are stay healthy, don't miss any time, and they all elevate.
Right. And even if what you said is true, let's say, you know how I feel about Kenny Clark. He's my favorite player on the team. Mm-hmm. I think he's the key to the whole defense. But even if he's his all pro self, and Wyatt turns into what they thought he was when they took him in the first round, and Slayton continues to get better and better, those big boys need breaks.
Yeah.
You don't want Kenny Clark playing 60 plays a game. You don't want Wyatt playing 60 plays a game. You don't want Slayton playing. So you need let's look at last year. Last year they had Wyatt was like the fifth guy, but they had Clark and they had Slayton, but they also had Dean Lowry and Jerron Reed. Mm. Now, I know some people don't like Dean Lowry, and Reed was what but they took up snaps. They played a lot of plays for the Packers last year.
Because
so
they
that's
could.
Two guys that they lost that played a lot of snaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they played, to your point, Mark, they played because they could. They were serviceable. They were good enough.
Yeah. Neither one had great years, but they played. They took up a lot of snaps. So even if Wyatt plays as many snaps as Lowry did last year, okay, well, somebody's got to play Reed snaps, mm-hmm. and then somebody's got to play Wyatt snaps. So let's say even if Ford becomes Wyatt, where he plays whatever many snaps Wyatt played, which wasn't a whole lot, but some. You still need at least one more guy to play a lot of snaps.
So that means somebody that can not just come in and be a body, but someone could come in and actually be effective.
And play, right, play. So, yeah, so they're going to – that's why I think – and I thought they might sign one, a veteran, but they didn't. And they still – I guess there's still some out there. I don't know when things – players will become more veterans do come free after June 1st and after the draft, because teams will draft guys and then cut some other guys. So they still might be able to sign a veteran, but they're again getting back to what I said earlier. I'll be scratching my head
if
the Packers don't come away with a defensive lineman at the latest the fourth round. But I'm thinking, and depending on what they get in, if they ever trade the quarterback, maybe even maybe third round, maybe even second round. I don't think they'll take one in the first round.
As it stands right now, they've got a fair number of picks. It would be silly if they don't end up grabbing some big guys in this draft. Now, before we dive into some of the prospects, because we have a couple we want to talk about here, I want to talk about Wyatt for a second, because you mentioned Wyatt snaps and like, okay, let's say John Ford, you know, hypothetically becomes Wyatt. Obviously, we don't know if that's going to be the case, right?
I just meant by in terms of snaps.
Right, yeah. But one thing I want to remind everybody of is that Devontae Wyatt did not play very many snaps last year, but when he did play, by metrics, he was pretty effective when he came into the game. So That encourages me for his year two jump, because again, like I said, we're going to need Kenny Clark to be his usual self, Devontae White to take a jump. We want Slayton to take another jump too. It's his third season, and they're going to need that, in addition to adding at least one, probably two more guys that can play. But Devontae Wyatt is kind of one of those really intriguing, if I can use that word, intriguing storylines. Like, if you were still writing right now, wouldn't that be on your list of things to watch for in camp?
In my top five.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yes. And I happen to think, and I know it's funny, because when I covered Philadelphia for 30 some years, I was always considered the tough guy, in the sense of, like, I thought I was fair, and people that liked me thought I was, that's what they liked about me. I was fair. I was honest. I wasn't a fan of the team. So I told what I thought. I am a fan of the Packers. I'm not going to lie. We wouldn't be doing Pack-A-Day podcast if I wasn't a fan of the team. Right. So maybe I am more optimistic when I talk about the Packers than I am other teams, but I happen to think Wyatt's going to be a pretty good player. I thought it was, I liked it when they took him. I thought he should have played more last year. I really do. I don't know. Again, I'm not at practice every day. I don't know what goes on, but I thought it was by the end of the year. I thought, and he did play a little more. Lowry got hurt, and he played more at the end. But he graded out pretty well, from all indications. And I'm not a pro football focus guy. I know people think that's like the end all be all. I never use them or even look at them. But I am an Andy Herman guy, and Andy great. You know, Andy does his grades every week, and Wyatt graded out pretty well under Andy's grading system, which is a pretty elaborate system, to be honest with you. So yeah, like you said, he didn't play a lot, but when he did play, he played well.
Now, for the record, you're right. I agree with you, Mark. And for the record, since Andy runs the Pack-A-Day podcast, I would just like to say that I'm also an Andy Herman guy too. Since I think we should all be Andy Herman guys and gals that are on the Pack-A-Day podcast.
But no, his grades. In spite of that, and Andy knows that. I say it all the time. I put it on Twitter. I don't agree with everything he says in terms of, you know, drafting. We've disagreed on things, but I know what it takes to do what he does in terms of grading. That's not an easy story to write, and I did it myself. It's hard. It's a lot of work, because you're watching the game. You're watching every player. You're watching the game over again, but you're watching it 5, 6, 7. Who knows how many times to grade every player? You know. And he's very fair and very, very accurate, I think, with it.
I did not always, and I'll tell you, there were some stinkers last year. We know the Packers went through that rough stretch. I did not envy Andy or any of those guys and gals who had to rewatch the games, because once a game goes south, I don't rewatch it ever again.
Right.
Do you know I have never rewatched the 97 Super Bowl?
Oh, me either.
And never will.
I refuse.
Never will.
No, and I've never rewatched the Seattle NFC Championship game.
Jeez, why would you? Why? Why would you?
Right.
Why would you?
I never.
If it's on, if it's ever been on, even the first half, I don't watch it. Bad vibes.
Bad vibes.
I don't
watch any game that my team loses again.
But okay, so getting back on track, you know, I agree. You know, and I was going to say you were known as the tough guy. I think it might be that good rugged exterior that you have there. You look like you could break some kneecaps if you know things didn't go the right way. You're a Jersey guy, right? So it's like, yeah, you know, all those things put together. But all right, so
fair. I like to think of myself as being fair.
Yeah.
When I covered the Eagles.
I think so too. I mean, how long?
And players, there were people that didn't like me that covered that and with the team because of I didn't buy into everything that they said. But again, with the Packers, I am. I'm not going to lie. I want the team to do well. I want every pick they make to be good. I want Devontae Wyatt to be to play like a first round pick.
Yeah, but you're being transparent about it before you give your take. It's different. I think that's above board. That's totally. I think that's totally fine.
I've admitted more than once that I thought I did not like the Christian Watson pick when they made it, and I made that clear.
Right.
But I've come around saying I said it from the beginning. I hope I'm wrong about this guy. Well, I'm glad I was wrong. I'm glad. I couldn't be happier to be wrong about a player than I was about, you know. And I hope he continues to become a star wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers.
And if game goes well, you laud the Packers. If a game doesn't go well, then you don't. And that's fair. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like we're so green and yellow colored glasses. We're definitely not.
Listen, when I do my analysis after the game, if they lose, I killed the special. When the night they lost to the 49ers in the playoffs, I destroyed the special. And Mo Drayton, I couldn't say enough bad things about him.
I think most of those were warranted in hindsight. If we're all taking truth serum, I think a lot of that was warranted. I think the Packers have obviously taken a turn for the better on the special team side of things.
Oh, God.
And that's a whole other thing we'll get into when the draft is over with is it looks like Rich Bisaccia is at the controls a little bit as far as who they're bringing back this year, but that's great.
All right, let's go to defensive line.
Well, so let's start off since you did all the really heavy lifting here too. You've got a nice quote to kind of kick off a general assessment of the defensive line group or your class from one of your sources here. So I'll let you start with what they're talking about as far as the group itself.
He says it's not a real good group, but it's not that bad. And this is a scout from an NFC team. He says, depends on what you're looking for. There are some good ones. Now, the best is Jalen Carter from Georgia. Now, there are some off the field questions about him. He was arrested for racing where a classmate of his was killed during the racing thing, whatever happened up out there after Georgia won the national title. So there is a little cloud around him. The thing is, there's no way that he's going to slip to number 15. I mean, there's just no way. Now, you and I talked a little bit about him prior to coming on, but would you move? I mean,
well, you know you already know what I'm going to say. So yeah, I'll answer, but
you
don't
want him, right?
But okay. I wouldn't say that I don't want him. It does cause me to pause when you look at some of the details, and you guys can, you know, and girls and everybody out there's listening to us can go on your own and read up on this and draw your own conclusions about your take on the actions and what Carter didn't do on this with regards to this racing and this death of his teammate. My big thing is listen, we're talking about a player that you're going to hypothetically take in the top 15 of the draft. That is a massive investment in any player that is squeaky clean coming out of college, and they have to pan out. Guys are going to lose their jobs if those players don't pan out. Right. So that for me is the risk factor is very high. So it says, hey, if he slips out of the top five, the Packers still would have to trade up to get this player.
I don't think the Packers would trade up.
And they would have to really, really like him. And I'm not saying it's impossible. And I also said, to be fair, too, I'll share my take that I gave to you before we started was, yes, it's possible. There have been instances of guys who were in a rough situation, made a mistake, did something bad happened, whether it was their fault, intentional, accidental, not, whatever, all the factors you want to put in there. And they literally had zero other problems and turned out to be great pros. Some went to the Hall of Fame and became great players. But there were plenty that didn't. And something else happened where there was a lapse in judgment or something else bad happened or, you know, trouble followed them around in some way, shape, or form. I don't have a sense for whether Carter is going one way or the other. There's no question about his talent. He's an absolutely talented player. But here we have some judgment and decision-making issues here for a player that knows, because I'm going to assume that he knows he's a top prospect in this year's draft, and you're going around and doing dumb things like that too. You can tell me all day these guys are young and that's what happens, and I get it. Young kids make mistakes and they just don't think as clearly as adults, but it's a top 15 type of an investment, Mark. And for me there, not where they'd have to pick him, I'm a no.
Okay. And then, like I said, I don't think he's getting out of the top five. I think he goes to Seattle at five. I wouldn't mind him for one reason.
Okay.
Well, no, two reasons. One is he's a pretty good defensive lineman. You put him next to him and Kenny Clark would be pretty good together. And he's Georgia. The Packers love Georgia guys. But it would also give them a Nixon, a Ford, and a Carter.
Of course. I should have seen that coming. I should have seen this one coming. Why didn't I, you know, 4 years of working together and I still can't, you still keep me on my toes. Let me ask you this too, before we get into some of the other prospects too here. So the quote from your NFC scout here depends on what you're looking for there. In your estimation, whether you want to talk about a frame, a body type, a skill set, what is it that you think that the Packers need based on what they already have? And what do you want them to say? What do you think they need in these
well,
next?
Well, big. The pack, if you play a 3-4, you kind of want your – I think they need an end more than a tackle, right? Because they have – Slayton is – Clark and Slayton are both kind of nose tackles.
Yes,
so
they are.
When they play – if the three of them play, Clark kind of moves outside, which I don't mind because it kind of frees him up to do more damage and just be a, you know, a traffic cop nose tackle type. And Ford is also that. So, I mean, right now Ford's number four. So I think they need somebody, around 300 pounds and at least 6'3". If you're talking body type, that's why they're, and we'll get to the other guys. They need, I think they need, and they also need somebody. Well, I mean, ideally you want somebody that can stop the run and get after the quarterback, but they've had problems against the run, right? I mean, that's been mm-hmm. their.
It's like I said beforehand. I mean, I 35 years following the Packers, I can count on one hand and have fingers left over the number of years that they were a really good run defense. It's just it's never been a big thing.
And that's not all defensive line. And no, I mean, it's defensive not. You're line, right. Obviously, linebackers control that too. You need good linebackers to stop the run as well.
Correct.
Set the edge and, you know, the middle, the guys inside have to come up and plug the gaps and all that. So it's not just the line, but it starts there. So, yeah, I for instance, let's all right, we talked about Carter. And we both agree they're not going to get him. But the kid from Pitt, Cansey, now a lot of people like him, but he's 6'1", 281.
Kalijah Cansey, yes.
Kalijah Cansey from Pitt, yeah. He's not, I don't see how you can fit him into a 3-4 defense.
No,
I don't.
No.
I just don't.
You're right. That size, 6'1", 281 to me, if like I said, I think that sounds to me like more of a 4-3 defensive lineman than anything on a 3-4.
And even he's even small. He's undersized for that. But and here's a quote on him because he went to Pitt, right? And my discussion with me, it's really unfair to compare him to Aaron Donald just because of his size and his school. He says it's unfair to compare anyone to Donald, but I like Cansey. He's a good player. Don't worry about his size. Well, no, but I'm worried about it in a 3-4 because he's just not big enough to play outside. And he's, you know, you want at least, like I said, I think you want at least 6'3", if not taller, and around 300 pounds.
For what you're going to ask him to do, it's going to be tough in a 3-4 regardless. So you can like, hey, this guy plays bigger than he is. It's like, yeah, but you know, how much bigger do you need somebody 6'1", 281 to play to be effective in Green Bay's defense? Probably a lot bigger.
Right. Agreed. So
it's just, you know, there's a limit. There's a limit. He might be a great player, but he's probably going to be a great player for another team.
Exactly. And I think he'll go, again, they're not taking him. Do you agree with me that the Packers are not taking a defensive lineman at 15?
No, I don't think so. I would.
Right,
be,
I agree.
I would.
First of all, there's not one worth it.
This this draft, honestly, there's this draft. There's probably a lot less things that'll surprise me this year than in other years. Defensive line would be at the top of the list where I'd be like, a quarterback, obviously number one.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, but a defensive lineman, I would be like, what is it that we're doing here? So
yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't see. Like I said, I think Carter is the only one that will go that high, and he'll be gone before 15.
Right.
So, and I think Cansey will, you know, they're obviously not going to take him at 15, and I don't think he'll be there at 45. I think he'll go, you know, top part of the second round, or maybe even he could sneak into the bottom of the first round even. So
someone likes him enough, yeah.
Right. So I don't see him being a Packer. I don't see him even having the possibility of being a Packer.
Well, and here's the other thing too. You've done it. You've mentioned it many times before. The Packers, if we're helmet scouting, don't see a lot of players from Pitt.
That's a good point.
You know, so from a conference standpoint, and that's a perfect transition into who I think the next player is. You're probably going to want to talk about here is from a conference that the Packers have taken, not just players from, but they've drafted players very early in the draft from.
Yep. From Big Blue.
From Big Blue.
Michigan, Mozzie Smith. He's not quite as tall. He's 6'3", so it's at that threshold. 323, so he has the size. You know, he's probably a second round. Now, again, he could go bottom first. There are some people that think he can sneak into the bottom of first. Probably go second. Might be on the board at 45. If he is, depending on what they do and depending on how many second round picks they have, it's a possibility. That's all I'll say. And my scout liked him. He said, I like him. Actually, that quote. I like him. He's better than anyone but Carter, in my opinion. He's not a finished product. But he'll be a good player. So what do you think? Do you think Mozzie Smith's the kind of guy that, like you said, the Packers have done, they have two starters on their team now from Michigan, right? Rashawn Gary and John Runyon Jr.
He's from a successful program. He meets, to me, size-wise and just from what I've seen, I would be more than happy with this. Not at 15.
No, not.
But I would be more than you could pick him. I mean, even if Green Bay wanted to move up in the second round to get him, I anything on day two, I am A-okay with him being the guy. I would love that. He's definitely one that I've had. And again, I guess I don't really helmet scouting. It's really more for me. Like I place a lot of bias on how successful these programs were. It's Michigan.
Too.
He was. If you can say that this player played a big part in the college team's success and they were playing in a playoff game, then you're probably talking about a pretty good player.
Yeah, I mean, people accuse me to helmet. I'm a helmet scout. That's the new term. But you know what? Yeah, all right. I do helmet scout because I want players from Alabama and Georgia and Michigan and Ohio State. I don't want players from schools that went 2-9. And I mean, I'm sure they have some good players. And I'm sure I can. They're good players like Christian Watson who come out of North Dakota State. But for the most part, first of all, if you played at Michigan, that means you played in front of 100,000+ people every week. So the NFL is not that the stage isn't going to be too big for you because you've been there, or if you played at Ohio State and you had to go into Michigan and play in front of 100,000 people booing you, that's
right.
You've been there. You've been at the biggest stage.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff like that's important. And like you said, he played in playoff games. College playoff game. That to me, that's
those
and
the yeah, big game. Yeah, big game appearances and the number of big games you played in matters. And that, but I guess in that sense, you're also in a way helmet scouting because usually the best colleges are the ones playing in the biggest games. Yeah. So,
and the Packers have done that. They in the last couple of years they've taken and again I'll throw Christian Watson here. Now he went to North Dakota State, FCS, but they played in. They played in big games. They won national titles. The Packers seem, especially early, to take guys who have had college success,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Georgia, Michigan. I think who else they took early last couple. Ohio. They took Myers out of Ohio State. So yeah, they like the Big Ten. They do like Big Ten, not just the two Michigan. Like I said, they've taken Myers from Ohio State, Savage from Maryland,
Rashawn Gary. He's also
Michigan, so Gary, way back two in... Michigan guys, Gary and Runyon. Didn't they take somebody from Iowa lately?
I'm chuckling because you can't mention Iowa without me thinking of Brian Bulaga, who's, man, he's been in the news. Not in the news, but he's been on Twitter lately. Yeah. I don't know whether it was smart on his part or not, but he's been on Twitter. Well. Yeah, no, I don't know. Nothing. No one recently there. It's been a while since there. But Big Ten, they've got a fair share of players that they like from there too, and I think there's as they should. Those players typically tend to be pretty good, and the one thing we know about the Big Ten is they've played a couple games in the cold weather for whatever that's worth to you for a player these days. Although I feel like that whole thing has kind of gotten a little overrated, and then we start getting into the conversation about home field advantage and playing in the cold and all that other kind of stuff too. So, but that's Mazi Smith, again, just to put a nice bow on it here, again, going back to what your scout said here, he's better than anyone but Carter. That's pretty big. That's pretty high praise. I mean, because we're only talking about the top five or six guys here, because obviously we'd be on for hours if we did more than that. But that is some high praise, whether it's a good draft or not. I mean, defensive line, there's out of how many total draft picks there are going to be that are made in this draft. A fair number of them are going to be defensive linemen. And so to say, hey, this guy is the consensus number the two best. Or the second best. Yeah, I got my eye on him. I'm thinking long and hard about it when I get to the second round. Now, this tight end situation for the Packers becomes very interesting because it's like you only have so many picks. They haven't signed, like you said, they haven't signed any free agents. I'm really, really curious. I wish I could be a fly on the wall and know which positions they think they're going to be able to pluck a veteran at, because they also don't have a ton of money to spend either. So
no, they have a little bit, but
if you believe what David Bakhtiari said that the Packers are rebuilding, there's going to be some positions or there's going to be one or two position groups that they are probably not going to be able to address the way they want to, and they're just going to have to get by with or make do with what they have and hope that some of these guys, like we might be hoping that Jonathan Ford
becomes something, right?
Turns into something, and that's a scary thought, but that could very well be the way it is. And even in a year when the Packers are trying to contend, again, you can only do so much in one draft and in one off season. So
correct.
That's that. But I think you could do a lot worse than Smith. I like him a lot. We talked about Kancey. And then next we have somebody that you like a lot who's from your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's Zach Pickens from South Carolina. Again, he has the size of 6'4", 291. Now again, the scout says he can play inside or outside in a 4-3, but he might be best as an end in a 3-4.
That sounds good. That sounds like what we need.
Right? We're looking for an end in a 3-4.
Yeah.
He's very good at the point of attack, needs to develop more pass rush move. Day two pick. So he's probably a third round pick from what I gather. Ooh. Maybe he might
sneak. Can he slip into the fourth round?
Hey, you never know.
If the Packers are picking, can he please?
Yeah, great third round, because we don't want to take him in a third round. He won't be any good, right? But, I mean, he's a guy, he's not as good as Mazi, obviously. But if Smith's gone, in the second before they pick, and they don't, you know, they go some, they go a different direction in the second. I wouldn't mind a Zach Pickens in the third or fourth round. Like I said, has the size. SEC. Packers like SEC. Mm-hmm. They like SEC even more than the Big Ten.
As they should.
The Georgia guys.
Yeah. And that, NFL light.
I mean, if you look at their defensive line, they, you know, the Kenny Clark's from the UCLA Pac-12, but Wyatt from Georgia and Slayton from Florida, that's two SEC guys right there. They took a South Carolina kid last year in the fifth round, the pass rusher, Agdabari. So, you know, it's a school that they have, if we're helmet scouting, they have taken guys from South Carolina. Again, I would not mind that pick at all at the right time.
Sure. And I've noticed, too, with this list, and it continues on with the next guy we're going to talk about, that these guys keep getting bigger as we move down the list. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Jalen Carter's was right. Pretty big, and then we went to Mozzie, who's Mozzie's a couple pounds. They're both 6'3".
He's not as tall.
And then we went back. Then we went down to Kansi, and now we're working
Kansi's small.
Working our way back up. But yeah, Pickens again. Now this is where we're getting into the guys that I think he, out of everybody that we've talked about, Pickens, it's about where he's likely to land. I think that's probably going to be the thing that maybe makes him most likely to be a Packer, is where he's going to be available. Because again, at 15, Jalen Carter, probably not going to be an option. Mozzie Smith, everyone knows about him, and he played at Michigan. So if he makes it to Green Bay, then, you know, they might have to run the card up and do what they have to do. But it's very possible that he could end up being a late first rounder if a team really likes him a lot, or a very early day two pick. And we'll see what's going to end up happening with this. You know, we try to get through a whole podcast without talking about the quarterback, but the reality is we still don't know if that trade's going to get done, and if we're talking about a different type of draft capital.
We don't know. That's what's killing me about this. And I think, and people say, well, that, you know, they have till the draft to do it. Yes, they do. Yes, I'm not going to argue that. But I think teams like to know how many picks they have and where they are a couple days before they're actually making the picks, right?
Yes, of course.
If you're Brian Gutekunst, you'd like to know, do I have 2 second round picks this year, or do I only have one? Do I have, two third round? What do I have going into this draft?
Because although I will tell you, at this point, based on the if this then this scenario, and because of all the drama and everything that's gone on with this trade, the Packers better already have a, if this happens, we're taking this.
Sure,
their board better be ready for any iteration of how this trade might turn out.
It
shouldn't be a huge surprise unless some team does slip in there. You asked me about how I thought about this, the Niners and the Titans slipping in there, and again, seems very convenient now that we're getting close to the draft that all of a sudden these teams resurface as interested in Aaron Rodgers. Boy, that's the universe is sure looking out for the Green Bay Packers if that's the case, right? So
We'll see. Again, we have a week to see if something happens between now and then.
Between now and then. But
Panthers
Pickens
going the clock.
You know, Pickens could be the pick.
I would like it. I wanted Pickens last year and I didn't get him. The wide receiver Pickens from Georgia. So maybe I'll get a Pickens this year. South Carolina.
The other Pickens. Yeah.
And then there's one more. Well, there's a couple more, but the next one is Brian Breese from Clemson, who some people like him a lot. Some people have him as a definite first round pick. My guy does not like him. The scouts that I talked to, the two scouts did not like him. They called him, one called him the most overhyped player in a draft. He was a number one recruit coming out of high school, but he hasn't played like it. And in his defense, he's had a lot of injuries. He had an ACL, he had a lacerated kidney. So there's medical concerns with this kid as well. He has the size of that we're looking for, 6'6", 298.
Yep.
If he were to slip and keep slipping, maybe he's worth the risk. I don't know. I'm not taking him at 15, and I'm probably not taking him at 45 either.
Well, it may be a moot point because your person's got him going late first round, probably because someone's going to take a flyer.
I said somebody will probably take him.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Now, there's another one that I didn't mention in breaking him down, but I mentioned him in the body of the story, is the kid from Florida, Jervon Dexter. He's like a second, third round pick. He has the same. Now again, the scouts that I spoke to weren't real crazy about him. That's why I didn't include him in my top five. But there are people that like him. He has, like I said, he's Florida, so he's SEC, which, like we said, the Packers do like SEC players.
Mm-hmm.
Now again, where does he fall? And do the Packers like him more than some other people? He's 6'6", 310. So like he has that body type that we're talking about mm-hmm. for the Packers.
Yep.
To play, to play in a 3-4. Wasn't real productive. I mean, see, I learned a long time ago when covering teams and talking to, personnel people and scouts. If you're not productive in college, you're probably not going to be productive in pros.
Yeah, it's just that seems commonsensical, but yet here we find teams that think they're going to turn these players into something when there was nothing to go off of in college.
Right. Like I remember a general, Tom Modrak, who was Eagles general manager for a few years, passed away. Great guy, helped me a lot. We got along. That's something with the Eagles that I did get along with very well. He always said to me, production. Forget what what their time is in the three cone drill and this, that, and the other thing. He says, all that's, you look at it and you keep it in mind, but production. He says, if a guy only got three or four sacks in college, talking about defensive linemen, he's not going to get 10 in the pros.
Right.
Right. If a receiver only caught this many passes in college, he's not going to catch. It gets harder in the pros. Guys that get 15 sacks in college might not get 15 in the pros, but there's a chance they're going to get 10. Right.
Right.
So it's all about production to me. He taught me that. So Mozzie Smith he produced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pickens has some again. They weren't. Like the scout said about Pickens, he needs to work on his pass rush. But if you're looking for a run stopper, I think he might be your guy.
They could use it. That's all I'm gonna say. We talked about the run defense and how it needs a boost, and they can definitely use that as teams try to exploit that trending and constant weakness with regards to the Packers. But year to year,
now Pickens had three sacks. So he had some pass rush in him, but that's not a big number. But he was more, like I said, more of a run stuffer.
Right. Well, I think I call those gravy plays, where it's like if they get to the passer, they get a sack, and that's not really necessarily what they're there for. That's right. even better.
And a 3-4, if whatever you don't expect your lineman. I mean, you want to get some pressure and some sacks, but it's your outside linebackers, it's your Rashawn Gary, your Preston Smith, whoever else. That get most of your sacks.
Right. Yeah. I'll be really curious to see how this board shakes out in these later picks. I think you might end up seeing, if the Packers end up getting one of these players, that's great. Cause you need, if you want to improve a position or if you need to add a really good player, the bottom line is you're probably gonna have to draft them by the end of the third round. Anything after round three is very iffy at best. There's been plenty of players who've worked out beyond that. Obviously, but it's far from a given. So,
and it's not. And again, to piggyback off that, yeah, you can get good players in the fourth or fifth round, and the Packers have. But if you're looking for immediate dividends, you're probably not. The Packers got they got actually Zach Tom was a fourth round pick last year who did pay off as a rookie. But that's rare. That doesn't happen all the time. So yeah, I mean, you might get a guy in the fourth, fifth round who turns out to be a very good player. But he's probably not going to help you a whole lot in 2023. So, yeah, I think the Packers will, if they want a defensive lineman, if they're not going to sign a veteran, then they better get a defensive lineman. As I said, at the end of day two at the latest.
Right. Right. I think, no, I agree. I agree. The Packers have a lot of things they need to do by the end of day two. They only have so many picks. So we'll see what ends up happening. If they end up trading back, stockpiling, if they finally hit on a third rounder, that would be helpful because one of these guys may end up being that pick. It'll flabbergast me if they end up picking a player in the third round at all. But at some point, you got to break the curse, right? At some point, one of these guys has to work out. So
at least be okay.
Right. Right. So that's what we'll keep an eye on for sure. Well, the next time we're together, as far as the defense, I don't know if there was anyone else you wanted to talk about. I'm realizing now that the next time that we'll be together, it'll be the day of the draft. So the next time you hear our voices, it's draft day.
Yep.
And so any news or buzz or anything that happens, I mean, God forbid, might there be a trade done?
Oh my God.
At that point, might it happen on the Wednesday?
Could.
Well, we'll see. The day before, I doubt it. I think if we get to Wednesday and it hasn't been any trade, there's probably more of a likelihood that there's no move made at all during the draft than on the draft day, which would really be bizarre and interesting.
It's this whole thing is I don't even want to talk about
it. It's exhausting. No, it's completely exhausting. Well, you've been doing a ton of good draft stuff. So what do we have up at Packer Report now and what's coming up?
What's up now is cornerbacks. And that's, and according to my people, the best position in this draft. It's the deepest. Mm-hmm. There's some very talented corners in this draft. As many as six or seven could really go in the first round, especially since other areas aren't that good. So that's up now. Look at the corners. And coming soon, if you're listening to us on Thursday, the story should be up on Friday, is a look at the safeties, which isn't nearly as good as the corners, but it's a position that the Packers may be looking to take at least one safety in this draft.
Okay. Yeah, they definitely need one. And I've heard the same thing about the corner position. So once again, another one to keep an eye on, is that's a premium position. Do the Packers decide to stockpile at a position that's constantly at need and other positions have to wait?
See, my take there, and I'll leave you with this, and we probably talk about this more next week, but I would not be opposed to the Packers taking one of the really good corners and doing what I've been wanting them to do for a year now, is move Russell to safety.
Yeah.
And so, you know, take a good corner, solves, you know, and then move Russell, and then you're helping yourself in two places.
Yep. I agree. And it's not the first time that's been floated or talked about. I'm sure the Packers have looked at it and they've even alluded to it. It may end up being something that they do end up doing. So seven more days.
A lot of good corners in this draft.
7 more days till this draft comes and goes. And then we'll know who the Packers are going to be in 2023, at least before free agency, the summer round of free agency, and then camp breaks. And we can actually talk about some football for once, which will be fantastic. Well, get over and follow Mark. Follow me on Twitter and Packaday Podcast. We'll be back again next week. Hope everybody's week is winding down. Thanks for riding along with this edition of the Packaday Podcast. We will be back next Thursday. In the meantime, everybody, stay safe wherever you are. And as always, go Pack, go.